Our sermon text is from 1 John chapter 4, and I'm actually going to read only verses 7, 8, and 9. The sermon focuses on those three verses, so this is 1 John 4, verses 7 through 9. Dear friends, let's love each other, because love is from God, and everyone who loves is born from God and knows God. The person who doesn't love does not know God, because God is love. This is how the love of God is revealed to us. God has sent his only Son into the world so that we can live through him. And then going down to verse 19, we love because God first loved us. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Many of you may recall that all-time theological classic, Children's Letters to God. Some of my favorite letters included, Dear God, is Reverend Coe a friend of yours, or do you just know him through the business? Donnie. Dear God, please send Dennis Clark to a different camp this year. Peter. Dear God, thank you for the baby brother, but what I prayed for was a puppy, Joyce. And some of the letters are beautifully and profoundly human. Dear God, why do people die? You wouldn't have to keep making new people if you just kept the ones you had. Emily. And dear God, are you real? Some people don't believe it. If you are, you better do something quick. Love, Harriet Ann. And finally, dear God, I don't ever feel alone since I found out about you. Nora. If you were to do a survey of Christian theology through the centuries, I think you'd find that theologians have spent most of their time grappling with the questions raised in the letters by Harriet Ann and Nora. So much of our theology grapples with God's power. Dear God, if you are real, you better do something quick. Or questions about God's love. I don't ever feel alone since I found out about you. In the Roman world in which Jesus lived and the New Testament was written, the wider culture was obsessed with the notion of the deity's power. In his book, Desire of the Everlasting Hills, The World Before and After Jesus, Thomas Cahill explains that the dominant image of deity in that world was raw and unlimited power, defined most eloquently by the Roman Emperor Octavian, who renamed himself Augustus because it sounded more like a god's name. And he set up an 11-foot tall statue of himself in the Roman Forum, had several others established throughout the empire. Cahill writes that Augustus was not a normal man. He was a god, deserving worship. And like all gods, he was terrifying. In striking contrast to that image, 1 John tells us that God is love, that God risks being vulnerable in loving people who may or may not love God back. God's way in the world is love, not coercion. God is always at work, seeking to win us over through love. And this is God's way in the world, loving us, luring us to the good, again, not by the power of coercion, but by the power of love. And by faith, we believe that a God of love is at work in all the places around the world that are torn apart by war. God is at work in inspiring the peacekeepers to rebuild everything that war has destroyed. The God of love is at work in the lives of refugees and their families as they travel in search of safety and opportunity. The God of love is at work in anxious families awaiting the safe return of their loved ones who work in law enforcement or who serve as soldiers abroad. And God is at work in all of our communities and families that are torn apart by strife and violence. The late John Leroux was an English professor from Stanford and a novelist. and a former Jesuit priest. Years ago, he wrote an intriguing and haunting short story called The Expert on God. The protagonist was a Jesuit priest who, from the age of 10, had been plagued by all kinds of doubts. Doubts about the Trinity, about the divinity of Christ, even doubts about the humanity of Christ. At one time or another, the narrator tells us, he doubted every single article of belief, but only for a while and only one at a time. Finally, he begins to develop a really troubling doubt. He starts doubting the love of God. And he prays, and he prays, and there are no clear answers coming. But he finds himself going through the motions, teaching, preaching, saying Mass, hearing confessions. And then one time he finds himself in the company of a young man who is dying. And what is a priest who is in danger of losing his faith supposed to say? He's not sure. He's really not sure. But then finally it comes to him, and he just starts saying, "I love you, I love you, I love you," over and over again. "I love you, I love you, I love you." Reflecting on that story, preacher and writer Tom Long says that the character of the priest could be understood in one of two ways. You might say that at the end of the story, the priest finally becomes a secular man who at last rids himself of the burden of his failed faith and acts lovingly on his own. But there's a second possibility, which is what Long believes, and for the record is what I believe as well, that the priest has given up his immature idea of a God who comes when we whistle to make everything all right, in favor of a God who is at work in suffering as the hidden and loving warrior, summoning the faithful to join their actions with God's, calling them to be in the present world of pain what all humanity shall be in the end. Those whose righteousness shines like the sun in the victorious love of God. To say that God is love, I think, is the most powerful affirmation of our faith. And the poet Wendell Berry once said this, "I know that I have life only insofar as I have love. I have no love except it come from me. Help me, please, to carry this candle against the wind." That's what the God is love. That is what God's love is like. In spite of everything, it gives us a candle to carry against the wind. And as 1 John tells us, God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. Now, I'm going to invite you to finish the sermon this morning. We have some worship stations which can invite you to think about what we mean when we talk about God or when we talk about a God of love. You can certainly come forward and participate in the prayer stations, or you could read the description of the prayer stations in your bulletin and meditate quietly where you are. But in this prayer station over here, we'll be invited to ponder what God is not. William Coffin, when he was a college chaplain, said that from time to time, students would come to him and say, "You know, I'm just not sure I believe in God anymore." And Bill Coffin would say, "Well, tell me about the God that you don't believe in, and chances are I don't believe in that God either." So you might write things like, you know, God is not a Santa Claus who magically grants every wish, or a fairy godmother who magically grants every wish. God is not a tribal God who loves us, but not them. The author Anne Lamott once said that you can be pretty sure that you made God in your own image when it just so happens that God hates all the same people you do. But that's not the God of love. God actually loves the people that we hate. God is not. So in this station, you can write down other things that God is not, that maybe in your own reflection of what God isn't, you can share some of those things here. And the prayer is that as you keep shedding these false notions of God, that you arrive somewhere in the center, and that there in the center, you will come to know yourself as a beloved child of God. And so over here, we invite you to share, write down what God is. God is love, and what flows from that, a God of peace, God of hope, the God who whispers to us when we most need to hear that whisper, reminding us that we are loved. Share here whatever you believe that God is. And in over here, where there are ribbons, this recalls all the things that we cling to, false notions of security, maybe even false ideas of God that we buy into for whatever reason. You can write this, if you'd like, on a wooden bead and then place it on the ribbon as a symbol of letting go. Let it cling to the ribbon instead of clinging to our lives. The ribbon is a little tricky to thread, and maybe even that is its own visual parable for how hard it can be to let go of the things that we cling to. But at this station, you're invited to write something on the bead and then to string it on the hanging ribbons. So I'll invite us now to participate in the prayer stations, either by moving around or by meditating where you are, by reading the descriptions in the bulletin. Friends on Zoom, you also can meditate on what's in the bulletin. And if you'd like, you could share in the chat some of your ideas. You could share with each other what God is not, what God is, and what are the things that we cling to that we would like to let go. I invite us to spend about 5 minutes finishing the sermon on your own, pondering some of these questions.